Lots of people love old-growth forests, and for lots of reasons. Big trees, sure, but also diversity, with lots of tree and plant and animal species. And it probably should not surprise anyone, potentially cooler conditions than in non-old-growth forests. That's the finding of a study published a few weeks ago in the journal Science Advances. It found lower temperatures in old growth than in tree plantations. Let's get into the specifics. Sarah Fry is a postdoctoral scholar and researcher in the Oregon State University School of Forestry and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what were you seeking to find at the outset of your study?
We started studying birds at our sample points, and we were interested in understanding how birds responded to temperature under the canopy. But we decided after a bit that we wanted to understand first the patterns in what I call microclimate, or this understory temperature.
Okay, we talk about microclimates a fair amount. You just heard our weather forecast. We have 11 different zones that we take a look at. When you talk about microclimate, you're talking even smaller than that, though, aren't you?
Yes, I'm talking about basically temperature sensors located about a meter and a half off of the ground under the forest canopy. Mm-hmm. And we have about 183 of these across the Andrews Forest.
And where is that?
That is in Blue River, Oregon, in the McKenzie River area,
mm-hmm.
in the Central Cascades.
How long has the array been out there of temperature sensors?
We put part of the array out in 2009, about 40 points, and we added to that in 2011.
And was this part of the whole discussion with birds originally, or how did that come about?
My research is part of a larger phenology project at the Andrews Forest, looking at birds, insects, and plants, and the interactions between those, and then also how temperature affects all of these trophic levels. And as we're interested in understanding how temperature affects all of these, we thought it was important to first understand the temperature patterns across the Andrews Forest, which brought us to this study.
Was there a hinge point? Was there a moment or an event where you realized, you know, this is really what we need to be looking at rather than the birds themselves?
I don't think there was necessarily a point in time, but just generally discussing what kind of publications we wanted to get out of our research, we decided that we couldn't really, you know, move forward until we understood the patterns in microclimate.
All right. And it sounds like a real forest versus trees kind of issue. I mean, a forest is a forest, you might hear from some people. But let's talk about the differences between the tracks you looked at.
Yes. So the different sites we looked at were located in closed canopy forests. And about a little over one third of them were located in older plantations. So over 50 years old. So decent-sized trees, and like I said, the canopies were closed. And then our other sites were located in mature and old-growth forests. And these are natural forests, non-harvested. And so what we were comparing was a gradient in forest structure across our sites and how that influenced the temperature.
Okay, a gradient in forest structure means what?
It means basically the sites in plantations, the structural characteristics were simpler and more even spacing and similar heights of trees. And then on the other end of the gradient or the spectrum is your old growth forests that have quite variability in canopy height and structural vertical layers of the canopy, and then they also have a lot of variability in tree sizes, but generally the trees are larger.
Since you describe this as a gradient, were there some mixtures, or was it pretty much it's either this or that?
No, it's a gradient in structure, so not plantation or old growth.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have, from plantation to old growth.
Okay, so with a lot of different shades in between. Okay,
yeah.
that was what I was getting to.
Yep.
Sarah Fry is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a postdoctoral scholar in the Oregon State University School of Forestry. We're talking about old growth forests providing a buffer against rising temperatures, potentially. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the characteristics of old growth timber versus non-old growth. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Is it not as simple as a straight correlation with more shade equals more cooling?
We actually used quite complex models to look at the influence of multiple different aspects of the forest structure, along with elevation and microtopography, to predict under canopy temperatures. So, definitely not a simple correlation, but. We found that elevation and microtopography were quite important in predicting temperatures, but vegetation structure was also a large influence.
All right. So were you, given all the places you had, and would you say 183 different temperature sensors?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have enough to be able to say, okay, well, this one is at this elevation, this kind of slope under old growth, and this one's about the same elevation and slope and facing the same general direction, but not under old growth? Did you have some good side-by-side comparisons like that?
Yes, we could compare sites with different characteristics, like you explained. Yes.
Okay. And so give us a sense of what the general trend was and how this unfolded over time. I imagine this is more than just a day's worth of readings.
So we looked at 9 different temperature variables. And we focused on, where the temperature sensors are taking a temperature reading every 20 minutes. That's a pretty large amount of data to deal with. So we boiled it down into looking at general spring temperatures and winter temperatures. And so that allowed us to get the general temperature regime of a site and how it was influenced by elevation, microtopography, and this vegetation structure. And so, generally, these forests with a high biomass and vertical complexity are old-growth forests, tended to be cooler in the spring and summer months than forests in these older plantation sites.
Okay, so it's so much data here to begin to look at, I can imagine. Were you reasonably sure that the conditions where you were looking here in the Andrews Forest were similar potentially to other old growth in the Cascades and other non-old growth in the Cascades?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say statistically our scope of inference, we can't go outside of the Andrews Forest, but ecologically I think that our results would be similar in the Cascades and forests of similar forest types, yes.
All right, so the decision to place the temperature sensors a meter above the ground, would the readings have been very different, do you think, if they had been in different places up in the canopy, for example, or a few feet up, more feet off the ground or on the ground?
I do think that they would be slightly different if they were at a different level in the canopy. I think as you go higher in the canopy, it's likely that this buffering effect of old growth forest would not be as strong. And it's interesting you ask that because we actually have put some temperature sensors up into trees, and that's something we're interested in looking at is how this buffering effect changes as you go up through the canopy.
Interesting. So at this point, you don't know if the difference is uniform up and down, but you certainly have it. You know what it is, a meter off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So give us the general picture here then. We're talking about you definitely found differences between old growth and land that had been logged at some time. How big a difference?
We found that for temperatures between May and June, or excuse me, April and June, mean monthly temperatures could be as different as 2.5 degrees Celsius across our gradient of the plantation forest to the old growth forest.
So 2.5 degrees Celsius is more than 4 degrees Fahrenheit, right?
Yep.
How significant is that? I mean, it sounds like a lot to the casual observer, but you're the scientist.
It is a significant effect, yes.
All right. Sarah Fry, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, postdoctoral scholar in the Oregon State University School of Forestry. We're talking about research into old-growth forests and the kind of cooling effect they provide versus tree plantations. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 with questions, comments, stories to share perhaps of your own from experiences out in the woods. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a question from Kent in Rogue River. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. My question is, how much detail have you been able to tease out about what is the fate of the energy that is represented by this temperature difference? For instance, is this energy going into heating the larger biomass in the old growth, or is it going into photosynthesis, or where is it going?
All right, so why is it not as hot there, essentially? Where is that heat going? All right, thanks for that. Can't appreciate it. Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to start by saying that we didn't actually test the mechanisms behind this effect, but I have, but we have some ideas of why this might be the case. So across our gradient and forest structure from plantations to old growth, we actually found that sites had similar amounts of canopy cover. So it's not just a simple shortwave solar radiation story. So we think that part of the effect might be due to the multiple canopy layers preventing the escape of long-wave radiation in these old-growth, more complex forests. And then also just the large biomass found in old-growth forests could potentially provide a thermal inertia, basically holding on to this temperature longer and not releasing it as quickly as plantations. So you could compare this to, or it'd be similar to a deep lake compared to a small pond. The temperature differences are just going to happen a lot slower in a deep lake.
Or as simple as the difference between the baby pool and the big kid's pool when you go to the public swimming pool.
Yeah.
The baby pool stays warmer, not because of, never mind, we won't go there. So the gradient, was it fairly consistent since you did have a bunch of different situations represented? I mean, as you got into denser canopy with the old growth, for example, could you pretty much predict after a while, okay, I think the variation is going to be this much over here?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, were we capturing the whole gradient in forest structure?
Well, were the differences fairly consistent? Was the curve kind of consistent that if you more toward the old growth end of things, was the temperature going to be consistently the 2.5 degrees Celsius lower? In the spots in between on the way to true plantation, was it going to be graduated by about the difference on the spectrum?
So in order to get this 2.5 degrees Celsius temperature difference that we found across the gradient in this April through June time period, we used a linear model looking at the effects of vegetation structure on microclimate. So our model is linear. So yes, across that, we can using our model, we can pick a site and we can make a prediction based on our model what the temperature will be and based on the characteristics of that site, the vegetation.
Okay. So, Sarah, cooler is certainly better on a hot day, but what are some of the other benefits that likely derive from the difference in temperatures between old growth and plantation?
Benefits
for whatever,
whatever.
That the forest is cooler. I mean, what creatures or structures benefit?
Mm-hmm. Well, there has in this study we just looked at the influence of the vegetation on microclimate. But in terms of how this might benefit biodiversity, definitely forest species that are cool adapted or prefer cooler temperatures. This is going to be a positive thing for them. Other studies have shown that understory plants, species that prefer cooler environments, do well under cooler forest types, and also many different types of animals have also been shown to take advantage of microclimate conditions when it's warmer regionally, to to when the region moves beyond their thermal preferences.
Okay, so they could potentially remain in their native habitat a little longer without migrating north or something to find similar sorts of temperature?
Yeah, exactly, and we've referred to that as micro-refugia, or spaces that could potentially allow species to persist longer or be protected from regional warming.
Which raises the question, when you come out and do a study just on the forest, and I mean, and granted, you came out here to look at birds, was when we talk about the ways in which species patterns are changing as climates get warmer, I mean, can you work in something of a vacuum? I mean, you have to be aware of where migratory patterns are changing and where habitat actually choices are changing for creatures.
So this study is definitely has important implications for our predictions about what species are going to do as the climate warms. So generally, these predictive models or these have been at really broad spatial scales and often don't pay attention to this fine scale variation. And so we, with doing this, then we can provide managers with a tool for looking at the climate at a scale that the organisms are actually experiencing it. And then have the ability to manage forests, and which will then determine how the temperatures that these animals experience.
Sarah Fry, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Oregon State University School of Forestry, where she's a postdoctoral researcher and has been part of this study about differences in temperature between old-growth forests and plantations, published in the journal Science. What was the journal name again, Sarah?
Science Advances.
You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange to further the discussion. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. When you talk about management then, I mean, I know that the School of Forestry has been working on this for decades now. Is there a pretty good prescription at this point for the kinds of things you're going to encourage to happen in a forest to make it turn into old growth or be more like the old growth that was here, the primeval forest?
Well, one thing that old growth forests, a characteristic of old growth forests, is this vertical complexity, or many layers of vegetation rather than just in a plantation you often get a single layer of vegetation, or the canopy height is not variable. And so that is something that forest managers could do to promote this this cooling effect that these types of forests have.
So in the case of trying to turn a plantation into old growth, you'd have to go in there and take out trees from time to time, it sounds like, to get younger ones to grow up so you have the uneven canopy you're looking for.
That definitely would be a way to do it. Yeah.
All right, another call here from Joseph in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking forests with Sarah Fry. Joseph, go ahead.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, good. Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay, I really didn't want to go in there. I have a few different questions about the Ashland forest thinning. And with all the various things going on, such as the three meltdowns in Japan and...
Okay, I think we're way off topic here. Sorry about that, Joseph. You didn't want to go on the air. I'm happy to grant that to you. Sarah, let's talk about ways in which the study can be used going forward from this point.
Well, I think it can be useful for making our predictions about how species will respond to climate change more accurate, if we can include this fine-scale information about forest structure. And then also, like I'd mentioned before, elevation and microtopography are important for under-canopy temperature. But with knowing now that the actual forest structure does influence under-canopy temperature, we have the ability to manage forests in order to promote this.
I'm curious to know again about when we talk about managing. I mean, it's not just enough to leave a forest alone for a long time, I'm gathering. If you want to mimic the characteristics of old growth, create a late successional reserve, for example, you're going to have to do some tinkering, it sounds like, certainly for a decade or two, if not more.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a little bit out of my my field of study, the good news is, though, a lot of old growth forest in the Pacific Northwest is currently protected. So that means that our forests have this ability to provide these microrefugia for biodiversity. And so one of our next steps is trying to figure out whether this effect is something that happens in other parts of the world.
Now, I noticed that the temperature data you have in the study is from 2012 and 2013. I have to believe the sensors are still there, or at least you've gotten more data than showed up in this study. So, I mean, what are you continuing to look at out there?
Well, I think it would be good to look at how the rates at which temperatures change across these different forest types. So looking at it instead of a spatially, looking at it temporally.
Okay, so you mentioned wanting to look at birds originally. That was the original focus of the study, and it certainly changed a bit from there. How well, Sarah, do we understand yet the web of life in old-growth forests about the ways in which the functions of some creatures affect what happens to the others?
So I am looking at how birds are influenced by microclimate. And actually have a study that is about to be published in another journal called Diversity and Distributions, showing that, yes, actually birds are responding to temperature as well as the forest structural conditions. And I found that birds actually prefer, or their thermal preferences vary. So some species are have a preference for cool forest stands, where other species prefer it to be a bit warmer.
All right, a lot to learn from this study provided from the Oregon State University College of Forestry, where Sarah Fry is a postdoctoral scholar. The essence of it is that it is, in fact, cooler by more than 4 degrees Fahrenheit in stands of old growth versus stands in plantation forests. Sarah Fry, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay.